Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. It is a beginning of another day to get it right, as Pastor Patricia Joy Xavier would say. So welcome this morning. God bless you. We have a lot of ground to cover. A lot of amazing things are actually going on around the world, in our country. And it's time to look again through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and to come away with an interpretation of what is happening in our world today and how you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are to go through these days. I want to begin in the book of Jeremiah today, the book of Jeremiah, and I want to read in the first few verses of chapter 12, Jeremiah chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you of your judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Verse 4, how long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. Verse 5, if you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Today I want to encourage every true believer in Jesus Christ, in all sincerity, because I believe something of a magnitude that is, we haven't considered everything. But I want you to know, I heard a report this morning that Patricia shared with me that she received, something going viral on the internet, how people who have been connected to a prophetic ministry, as you know, for a number of years now, a lot of people have prophesied in the name of the Lord that the president, Donald J. Trump, would have a second term. and that he would go on for 4 years. Now, let's hope that's true. We want that to be true at this point, don't we? We really want that to be true. And yet, the moment that the news media gave their prediction, or they made the call, which they have no right to do, as we understand it and are all learning, we were told, or we're being told, that believers have thrown in the towel. That they said, wow, you know, we heard all these prophecies and these prophets and prophetesses telling us that Donald J. Trump was going to be a two-term president. And now that the news media has made its call, they believe it. And they're throwing in the towel saying, well, who could we trust? Because every single one of those prophets that have prophesied, if they're wrong, have now left the community. And believe me, I understand this, and we could talk about it. It's no problem at all. But you have a host of men and women. You have prayer groups with thousands of people online listening to the prayers. And even to this day, demanding Donald Trump's going to win, Donald Trump's going to win. And I just hope that that push is not just to be right. I really hope that it is right. But regardless of what has been prophesied, what has been said, it is always important for God's people to keep their eyes on the things above. It is always important to remember that you came into this world not through a political system. You could care less at a period of your life who was the president, who wasn't the president. You know, you could care less. Now you seem to care a little bit more. These things seem to be important. But remember, they are horizontal. They are earthly. They are temporal. And even though we are here on purpose to be influential in bringing salt and light and liberty and truth, remember, you don't throw in the towel and give up your faith because, you know, 100 prophets and prophetesses declared that something was going to be. Now it's not. Well, who do I trust? Where do I go? Well, first of all, they still may be right. All the prophets who have spoken a two-term presidency may still be right. This is a battle. This is something that's going on. Thank God the president's pushing it. However, if, in fact, Joe Biden wins the presidency of the United States of America, what are you going to do? How is it going to affect your life? What is it going to mean to you as a true believer? Well, there's a lot to consider. I'd like to go into some Bible prophecy about the whole idea of what I'm sensing. I mean, little tidbits here and there of information, spiritual information, right in the Word of God that maybe we need to be looking at. But don't emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually lose hope. I mean, don't right now look at this little tiny thing going on in our country as though, you know, it's the end of the world. Listen, there are greater forces coming. These are little footman things going in a Judeo-Christian nation with a controversy for the soul of the nation. And I know that's a big deal for us, but there's something bigger coming, known as a one-world government, antichrist system, and this may be, marching in that direction. Time will tell. But regardless, you and I are being prepared to stand in the gap through the entirety of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And yet we know that there are people that have believed certain doctrines that have disarmed them from preparing to stand in the gap. They have absolutely no concept of being here when the Antichrist, the devil, Lucifer, makes landfall. They do not plan on being here whatsoever for that. And yet, the Bible declares that that is exactly what will happen. And another interesting thing to note, that remember in September of 2017, on the 23rd day, the Revelation 12 constellation sign showed up in the heavens. Remember that? And there was conversation about, but it was a fact. It did show up in its perfection. The issue was the timing. You know, had it been 7,000 years, 5,000 years since it ever showed up? The fact remains that it showed up in our generation, and it showed up as a sign in the heavens. And we always remember that the sun, moon, and stars were for signs and seasons, for moeds and oaths, for signals, for red alerts, for banners, for warnings, ominous things. And so when God sent that signal, it was the signal that Revelation 12 is probably getting really close to being fulfilled. And one of the things that happens in Revelation chapter 12 is there is a battle in the second heaven between Archangel Michael and the dragon and his angels. And what empowers that warfare is the prayers of the saints. And right now, because of the desperation that is taking place within our nation and the awakening of where we really are, and we're still here and it's not comfortable anymore, and Donald may lose, and you know, all these things, there's a certain urgency and desperation growing, which is empowering prayer around the world. And so there are people everywhere. I was out shopping yesterday and I was asked by an individual, do you think there's still hope? Because they heard me talking about something on the phone about this whole situation. And when I hung up, do you think there's still hope? Is there hope? That is Donald Trump going to win? Well, the Revelation chapter 12 is about a battle in the second heavens. And I believe that battle really, as we get closer to the end of time, is a massive battle. And there's prayer going on, spiritual warfare here on earth, and it's empowering the second heaven on both sides. And yet we know in Revelation 12 that Michael and his angels win, and Satan, the dragon, the serpent, is cast out of heaven onto the earth, and his angels with him. And we know, according to Revelation chapter 12, when he makes landfall, he is absolutely furious, and he begins his process of making war with everything called God, which is the beginning of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. As Jesus said, the tribulation that he spoke of in the last days had never been before, will never be again. That means everything in the past that's been in the realm of tribulation will pale in comparison to the last tribulation, the global great tribulation. And while we sense that growing and coming all around us, I believe we are right there at the moment where the devil is about to make landfall on this earth. That's possible. It's possible. Now, when he does, we have to be ready for that. This stuff we're dealing with right now is footmen. They're little simple footmen soldier battles that are going on. But when the big kahuna gets knocked out of the heavens onto the earth and has fury and goes forward to make war with everything called God, that's going to bring us into another paradigm. Now, if people are weakening right now over who's going to be the president of the United States, man, that is not a good sign. That is not a good sign. And the millions of believers who have been listening to the prophets and the prophetesses declaring a two-term Trump presidency, if they're wrong, if they missed it, if there was something that they didn't consider and they were wrong about what they said and that doesn't happen, that's still not a reason for you as a believer to turn away from walking with Jesus Christ. Nor is it an excuse for you to say, I don't want to hear this stuff anymore. That would be a terrible decision. You need to stay sharp right now. You need to stay focused right now. You need to stay woke right now. You need to stay connected to the heartbeat of Jesus. You need to press in and become closer and closer in your relationship with God. You need to know that there's good fruit in your life. You need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You need to see the signs of the times. Don't let Jesus get upset with you by saying you could tell the sign of the skies when it's going to rain or it's going to be a nice day, but you can't tell the signs of the times. No, we need to be aware of the signs of the times. One of the signs of the times is in the last days, there's going to be a tremendous amount of deception. And, you know, I have some scriptures here that I want to share in a little bit about prophets and prophecy. And I need to tread very carefully because I know somebody could be extremely well-intended and really believe something and fall short in it. I know how that works. And it's all a motivation of the heart. It's what God sees in the heart of the individual. And one thing that God never did like, and I'm going to be very honest, is when the prophets spoke contrary to what the reality was. And what I mean by that, the majority of false prophets in the scriptures were those who prophesied peace and safety and spoke smooth things in spite of the rebellion and the sin issue that was going on in the midst of the people, in the midst of the nation. Hopefully we could get to that in just a little bit. My encouragement to you is to stay your course. Keep on pressing in. Now, what is happening? It's Tuesday. The last time I spoke with you was Friday. Joe Biden was named president-elect, which doesn't even exist according to what we're learning right now, on Saturday. So we haven't had a real good time to chat about these things and talk about them, and we need to do that. Okay, the man that you're looking at right now just simply had a dream, and I've told you about the dream over a year ago that Joe Biden won the election. God showed me, for whatever reason, and I'm searching out the reason, that he had his blue suit on, a blue tie, he was walking through a tunnel, he had won, but there was no celebration in him. There was zero celebration in Joe Biden. Something was unnerved in him. He was not at peace, or, hey, I won. No, there was something wrong, and I've said drastically, deadly wrong. And so now we have a dream over a year ago that's manifested. This man, supposedly, according to the news media, okay, is declaring a victory. So the other night, when on Saturday, when we heard that Joe Biden had won this election, I think it was Saturday, because I preached this message on Saturday night, I came downstairs. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I came to the Lord because I couldn't sleep. I wanted to know about the dream. I wanted to know, you know, why did I get this dream about Joe Biden winning the election and the condition of his heart concerning that? What was that all about? And when I was in prayer, I didn't hear much about that. What I did hear, let me make sure we're getting through here loud and clear. I had Pastor Dave just give a call, and I can't get through to him on that, so I think we're okay. So I'm praying about this issue with the dream, and I didn't hear a thing, and I crawled up on the couch, and I was going to try to get a few winks, and while I was settling in, I heard God say, the answer is in 2 Chronicles chapter 8. So I listened to that for a moment. It soaked in. I opened up to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. I read it. It meant nothing. I got nothing out of it. Zero. So rather than staying on the couch, I went back upstairs. I got into bed, and I slept a good 5 or 6 hours straight through. And, you know, normally when you have a evening meeting with the Lord and you first thing you wake up in the morning, you kind of forget and you're in a different mindset and you have to remember things. Well, when I woke up, there was I preached this message on Sunday, not on Saturday. So this was all happening on Saturday. And then the election thing came in. But the first thing I woke up with, see, 2 Chronicles chapter 8 was all about Solomon. He had built a wall. He had restored cities. It was all about what he had done. And that's why I didn't get much out of it. I was thinking, okay, Solomon did this, he did that, and he did that. Remember what I just said? It literally says he had built the walls, he had restored the cities, he had done this and that. It was about his accomplishments. And when I woke up in the morning, the question came to my mind right upon waking up, how did Solomon become the king? And I thought about it, and I remembered a story. There was a contest, and I found the contest in 1 Kings chapter 1. And when I started reading 1 Kings chapter 1, I saw it's a story about King David being an old man, 1 Kings chapter 1. The first 5 verses are all about David being an older man. And then about a man by the name of Adonijah, one of David's sons, and how Adonijah took it upon himself to declare himself to be the next king of Israel. You remember the story. And so Adonijah tells Abiathar and a few other people, you know, his plan. They rally around him, but Solomon's not invited. And Nathan the prophet is not invited, and Benaiah is not invited. They're, you know, the key people in the Davidic administration are not invited. So Adonijah gathers all the people, and they have this huge celebration. It reminded me of what Joe Biden did in Delaware on Saturday night, right, at 8 o'clock or whenever he spoke. Only God knows. But he had this big gathering. and it was to declare himself, Adonijah, to be the king of Israel. So while they're all there celebrating and they're eating and they're dancing and their music is going and all these things are happening, Bathsheba goes to David and talks with him and says, "Didn't you say that Solomon, my son, would sit on the throne after you? And now Adonijah has made his move to be the next king. And my son, Solomon, and I," these words are amazing because it's exactly what AOC and some other people are saying about what they need to do to people that supported Trump. She said, "If Adonijah wins, we're going to be killed. Solomon and I are going to be killed because we stood against that administration." This is all in 1 Kings, by the way, chapter 1. And so it was Nathan the prophet that spoke to Bathsheba and told her to go to King David. And then he said, "While you're talking to King David, I'll come in." And so Nathan does go in. And Nathan starts speaking and says to David, "Hey, King David, did you authorize Adonijah without telling me? I mean, he's just declared himself to be the king. Is this the Lord's will? And, why didn't you tell me?" So now David's hearing from Bathsheba. He's hearing from Nathan. And he's going, wait a second. He said, "That's not the deal." He said, "Solomon will sit on my throne." So he calls for Nathan and some of the other folks to gather together to take Solomon on his own donkey down to Gihon. And that's an amazing river. Gihon was in the Garden of Eden, if you'll remember, one of the four rivers. And it means a bursting forth for a purpose. And there's a lot of prophetic reality around Gihon. But they take Solomon down to Gihon. And then it says in 1 Kings, they anointed Solomon at Gihon, in Gihon, to be the next king. Then they took Solomon back to David's throne, and they put Solomon on the throne, and all the people of Jerusalem were sounding alarms. Now, all the people that were at Adonijah's feast, they heard the sound of rejoicing and trumpets, and it shook the earth. And they wondered, what is it? And a man by the name of Jonathan went into Adonijah, and Adonijah says, "Jonathan, what's the good news?" He says, "There is no good news, Adonijah. David just ordained Solomon to be the king. They anointed him in Gihon, and he's now sitting on the throne, and all Jerusalem is worshiping." And the people heard it that were with Adonijah, and they were terrified, and everybody went home. Adonijah was so terrified that he grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. And it was said to him, to Solomon now, now Solomon's on the throne, and they're telling Solomon, "Hey, Adonijah is hanging on to the horns of the altar." And Solomon says, "Just tell him to go back to his house, be a good boy. If he does anything bad where he's in a lot of trouble, just tell him I'm not going to touch a hair on his head, but just behave himself." Kind of like what Trump did with Hillary Clinton a few years ago. So I'm getting this download out of 1 Kings because 2 Chronicles chapter 8, the night before, how did Solomon become a king to do the things that he did? It was through a contest. It was through somebody taking the reins. So I thought to myself, okay, this is really a part of the dream. Joe declared victory, but there was something nervous about it. Something was wrong. Now we're witnessing in the political realms that Donald Trump and Giuliani and a lot of people are making a move to undo it, to go against it. And we would say, hallelujah. As a matter of fact, there is a march. Now here's what, in my preaching on Sunday, I told whoever was listening, I said, listen, the only right thing to do right now is to gather the 71 million people that voted for Donald J. Trump and to go to Washington, D.C. Now, I didn't know anything. I was just speaking by the Spirit. Go to Washington, D.C. and anoint the president to be the next president for the next 4 years, to ordain him, just like they did with Solomon. And the people made him, all right? So I said, we need to go there. Now, without knowing it, yesterday I was watching Newsmax. And on Newsmax, I won't watch Fox anymore for the most part, and I won't watch the other ones. I watch them just to, kind of see where people are at. But I believe Fox News turned on President Trump. I believe that CNN and all the other ones, but Newsmax is staying the course. So I'm watching Newsmax, and all of a sudden, I think it was Mr. Kelly, he brings out, he was so excited, that there's a march this Saturday, November 14th. It is a MAGA Million March, and they're going to gather together in Washington, D.C., and there are different groups involved, the Republicans Club or something like that. Even the Proud Boys are getting involved, whatever that's all about. I don't follow. I don't know. I don't care. You know, whether it's BLM or Antifa, they're certainly not leading this march. But there's a gathering together and a call for millions. And I thought, look at this. This is exactly what I was preaching Sunday, that this is the only thing to do. You cannot sit in your chair watching the news, eating the popcorn, thinking about what's going to happen as though you're in a movie. No, you have to be part of it. And that there's a call. If you really want to see things change, the 71 million people. Now, we'll take a million on Saturday. President Donald J. Trump is president until January 20th. Okay. December 8th is when the real ballot will be cast, and we'll find out what happens. But there's a rallying call. And then there it was this Saturday, a rallying call. So I'm highly considering going out there. I'm waiting for a few key things to take place. And I've got about 25 men that would like to go with me. And I'm excited about doing that. And we would join in and just do what we preached to do, to gather together. What would be awesome is out of every state in the United States of America for people to get this news out there. And I don't know if you guys can see it or not. I'll put it up here for just a moment. Let's see if I can share my screen with you and show you what's happening. I'll go to my Chrome tab and I'll sign up for the weekly and I'll share it. So I'm going to put this on there and I'm going to go full screen with it if I can. Let's go full screen. And it's sign up for the Republican deal. Let's see. So I can't do that. I got to exit out of there. Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing for just a moment. And whoops, I got everything messed up. Exit full stream. All right, so there's this article here, and it's all about the Montgomery Country Republican Club, whoever they are. They're part of the people that are talking, and here's the information. It's just about this gathering. Let me see if I could find a better one. There it is. This is the one I really wanted to share with you. Let me share this screen, and this should help us here. So just in case you're interested, and we'll share it. And this is the one that I thought was good to see. And what it's actually saying is the Million MAGA March at the White House. It's Saturday, November 14th. Stand up and fight against fraudulent election and make your voices count. It's hosted by Pierluigi Maricchio and Stop the Steal. All right, so these are the people that are hosting it. You can stay connected with the Montgomery County Republican Club. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. So that's all here, okay? And it's the Million Man March, and this is where it's at. Here. And so I saw that and I thought to myself, well, this is really happening. This is now putting, you know, wood on the fire. This is actually doing something. And so what would be an awesome thing is for the word to get out, for people to start spreading and seeing groups and cars and people that voted for the president who felt that their vote meant something, and they don't want the Democrats on the left to have stolen, and there's a lot of evidence obviously pouring in. Now, Don Lemon from CNN will mock and ridicule and you know, put the president down, and I wish to God he would eat his words. I honestly do wish that Don would just have to eat his words and then get born again, you know, because he was so silly last night, this CNN host, Don Lemon, and they all want it over. It's over. It's over. It's over. The president's crying, and they're just doing all these things. Listen, my vote meant something to me. your vote meant something to you. And when 50 witnesses, 50 people come out and say there was fraud, there was fraud with the computer system, there was fraud with the scorecard and hammer, which Pastor Jeff Bass was the first person to talk about it on this broadcast. I never heard that before. He had that information out. He brought it to our reality, and now it's all over the news about the Dominion software, about the computer glitches, about the not allowing the Republican observers to observe the counting of the votes, about all these stacks of 60,000 votes that were had all for Joe Biden, all ready to go. So there's a problem, and maybe this is the part of the dream where Joe Biden is going to be confronted. Let's hope so. Let's hope for the best. Let's hope that the people that prophesied. But my point is this. If that doesn't happen, if that doesn't happen, you need to be prepared for something. Okay, and I want to share it with you. You need to be prepared for Bible prophecy. And this is where everything is in God's hands right now. It's true. It's a vulnerable time in our country. You know that. I'm talking vulnerable, massive destruction, mega violence time in our country. Okay? I believe it's that time. I believe fury is coming. I believe that the third wave is war. I believe this is ready to happen. You need to be prepared, and I need to be prepared to stay the course. Stay the course. Right now, what happens? Let me ask you a question. What happens if what the news media promoted as a Biden victory is overturned? Do you think Antifa, BLM, other groups sponsored by the left are just going to sit back and go, oh, darn it. Man, I thought we won. Well, let's get back to work. No. Why do you think thousands of businesses across the country boarded up their windows and spent thousands of dollars protecting their businesses? Because they were afraid of the violence. And God forbid that America has been taken hostage even further because of the threat of violence. So if the prophets are right, okay, this big, huge prophetic community out there, two-term president, if they're right, and now it's overthrown and Donald J. Trump wins, have they prepared the people for the violence that will follow? Are we ready for an uptick? So these are questions that I think need to be asked. It would be nice if everybody just went home after the election and found out who the true victor was and everybody. We don't live there anymore, folks. We don't live there. I want to talk about what I believe is also possible. Okay? It's possible that 71 million Americans will gather in Washington, D.C., or in every capital across this country by the millions, in every capital, in every city of this nation, right? Just go to the capital of every state, and you'll have plenty of room for the 71 million people that voted, and make a statement. We're not going to be cheated. We're not going to allow fraud, or we're not going to be held hostage. We're now putting our lives on the line, and we're going to stand in the gap for truth, to rip off the cover of deception that's so obvious and blatant. Okay. If the people of this country who voted will do that, there will be a great victory in the camp of the Lord. It may insist on violence, but there will be great victory, because that's what happened with Adonijah and Solomon. Maybe some of those people will go away and go home like Solomon told Adonijah. Behave yourself, but if I find wickedness, you're dead. He literally told him, you will die. And these little cowards that are out there, when they're exposed, they're like little rats. And they're terrified because there's a power that'll put them in prison. You go back to your hole, go back into your dark place. And you could live if you behave yourself. You get wicked, you try to do something, you will die. I mean, that was what happened in the 1 Kings chapter 1 story. Cool if that happens. If it doesn't happen, what happens? I want to turn to some scripture, and I just wanted to encourage in the first part of this broadcast, it should not matter to you either way. What should matter to you is that you are a Christian, you are born again, you have an eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus, and though you're here to stand in the gap, to be salt and light, to bring exposure to the darkness, to speak the truth in love, and even though that's our calling, our hearts are not tied to temporary things. Remember that our King is eternal. Jesus Christ is our King. His kingdom is our dwelling place. We live in that reality, in the spirit, and it's real and it's true. So, what may be going on here? Let's say the 71 million people don't show up. Let's say that the left prevails and the lawsuits fail, and we leave, you know, millions of people in despair because their prophets that they were trusting were no longer, it wasn't true. Something happened for whatever reason. What may be happening on the other side? I want to read out of Revelation chapter 13, and I want to just bring a few scriptures, 16, 17, and 18, and I want to put definition to them. And out of the definition, listen, this isn't some, I'm going to wrap this up in a nice pretty picture. I just want to pull some of the meanings out of these verses for us to consider something. Only a consideration. Okay, we're searching. We're digging. We have our tools out. We're digging. We're looking for something. So we may find some things and go, oh, look at this. And, well, look at that. Well, that's interesting. You know, nobody's saying, well, that's true, that's not true. No, let's just search a few things out right now. And let's see if there's something to find out of Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. We're talking about a second beast. And in verse 16, it says this. He causes, the second beast, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that's everybody, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. All right, so somewhere in Bible prophecy, in the end of time, as we move into the Great Tribulation period, there's going to be someone that's going to cause everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life to receive a mark. Now, the word mark, as you know, is the karagma. Okay, and I want to make sure I sound it right. It's the hard K, the karagma, the karagma, the mark. And that word karagma means a scratch or an etching. Maybe it is a puncturing of the skin with a vaccination. I don't know. But what it's saying, that it is a scratch, an etching. It is also a stamp as a badge of servitude. In other words, if somebody causes you to receive, they have overpowered you. They have come in and this is a badge of servitude. You've now capitulated. You've submitted. It also talks about a sculptured figure or a graven mark. And that word karagma does have a deeper root, and it's the karax. And the karax basically is to sharpen to a point. It's through the idea of scratching a palisade or rampart, and it goes into some other definitions that really don't fit into what we're talking about. So, again, in Revelation 13, 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Okay, now there's a lot of information there that we need to discover, right? We understand exactly what's being talked about, but I move on to verse 17. We know what the mark is. It's an etching, scratch to a degree. And it says in 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. Okay, stay with me on this. And let's see if we could find something here. So we've got a mark, and we realize what the mark is for. You cannot buy, you cannot sell, except you have this mark, or the name, which means the authority or character of the beast, the Therion, okay, this savage, ferocious animal-like dominion that will be operating, or the number of his name. The arithmos is what the number is. Verse 18 is interesting. It said, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. Now, the word count there is interesting. And the word actually means, and it's a tough word to say, it's the sephidzo, the word count. And it means to use pebbles in enumeration. It means generally, and this is in the Greek, to compute, very interesting. I go a little bit further, and it literally says in the definition, to count with pebbles, or to compute, or to calculate, or to reckon. And you'll remember that in the ancient days back then, they had white pebbles and black pebbles, and according to one's verdict, whether they were guilty or not guilty, the color of the pebbles. If there were white pebbles in those days, it was mean you were innocent. If there were black pebbles in those days, it meant you were guilty. That's kind of the way they did things way back when. But look at what it really means in the Greek. It means to decide by voting. So the word count literally means to compute, talking about computers. It means to decide by voting. Now, the call was to do what? Here is wisdom. Okay, so here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count. Okay, compute, decide by voting. Count what? The number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, it's interesting in the concordance, and I use the blue letter Bible, the Elia is the concordance I like to use, and it's interesting, there's one Greek number for 666, and here's the number. It is actually the Chi Z stigma. Now, I'm going to share this on the screen. I want you to see this. If you're on the screen, I want you to see it. And I want to go to my Strong's Concordance. I want to share the screen. So you'll notice here, all right, let me just get it right here. You see where it says the strong definition, for, and this is for the 666. It's the chi. Maybe I should do this. Hold on one second. What I'll do is I'll go here. This way you should be able to see my. Let's see if I pop it. Yeah, there it is. It's the chi z stigma, or the chi z stigma. Now they spell that up here with the chi. And this is the symbol right up here, okay? So we have the CH, the X, and then the stigma, the Kesey stigma. Now look at what it says. It talks about an obsolete letter, and it comes to a Greek 4742 as a cross. And so I went to the 4742, and it talks about the word stigma. The word stigma literally means to prick. It's a mark, incised or punched for recognition of ownership, a scar of servitude. Okay, very interesting. I went a little further and I wanted to get behind this. It says a mark that was pricked and branded upon the body. To ancient Oriental usage, slaves and soldiers bore the name or the stamp of their master or commander, branded or pricked or cut into their bodies, to indicate what master or general they belong to. Okay, so I saw that. I thought it was interesting. Now, We go back and we look at this word again, the chi z stigma. Do you know that the CHI, when you look at this in the CHI, which is pronounced with the K-H-E-E, but it's the chi, C-H-I, just as an exploration, China, Z-X-I, the next letter, is the name of the president of China right now, or the dictator of China. So Xi Jinping, right? I mean, his name is X-I. He's the guy in China. And that is the middle word here, the X-I, the Z. Now, you could do some really cool research into that as well. And then the mark or the stigma. I thought it interesting that Joe Biden and China are a major connection. That Joe Biden and his son, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about how Joe Biden will come back into agreement with China. He wants China to become a world power. So the Chi Z stigma, representing the name of the number of a man, the number of a man. And right in the middle of this 666 is the name of a man who is the president of China, where there was a Wuhan virus came out of China, and a vaccination that will be coming. We'll see how this all works together. But again, we're just looking. I'm just kind of finding things in the rubble as I'm digging. Cheesy stigma. Joe Biden, China. The symbol of China is the great red dragon. That is their symbol. They're known as the dragon. The dragon will give power to the beast. The mark of ownership will be on both beasts. Does Joe Biden's election bring connection to China, who is accelerating in power? Will the resistance of the United States be broken? Will China come to a global position, not only geographically, but in the United Nations, giving authority and power and a seat to the beast? And who might that beast be? Well, it's a seven-headed beast. It's a combination of several aspects. To me, it sounds like a caliphate, a gathering together of the Islamic world. She is soon to becoming one, empowered to make war, because that's what the beast does. It's a vicious, wild animal that's sent to attack everything belonging to the God of the Bible, as we know him, Jesus Christ, his son. One of the great adversaries of Christianity and Judaism, if you want to go there, is Islam. Allah has no son. There's something there. And I'm wanting to dig it up and discover and say, well, what is this? What is this that's going on? So those are my musings, my absolute musings today. And I don't think there's much more for me to say except to kind of bring things together. And I'll open the telephone lines are open right now. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. And let's talk about this. Number one most important thing is that you don't give up. You never quit. Everything doesn't work out the way you thought it would. You still don't quit. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Now, there's a dream that we're looking at going, wow, this is very interesting, but there's no outcome to it. There are thoughts about what could be done, and I do believe if 71 million Americans who voted for Donald J. Trump showed up, there wouldn't be 76 million or 75 million, because most of them that voted were dead. They were fraudulent. They were not right ballots. You wouldn't even have that kind of an equal clash, not even close. Joe Biden didn't get out of his basement, as you have heard time and again. Barack Obama drew 30 people. It was gas, man. It was no substance. It was all gas. These guys were burping out of their bellies was just ridiculous. And yet they had this confidence they were going to win. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now, if nobody challenged it and we did what the news media said, just accept it, go away, Donald, you lost, blah, blah, okay, let's go on now, blah, blah, blah. No, that wouldn't be good. But there's something challenging that's disheartening to Joe Biden and those that are connected to him. And if the people that voted for the president understand these things and won't listen to the Don Lemons and the Cuomos out there in CNN News saying, hey, listen, your president's just trying to do this because he wants to win, and they'll put all kinds of sound bites. No, you should know by now the truth of the fruit of what was done in the last 4 years. Okay? So the president's going to fight against this negative press, this satanic serpent-like tongue that's out there. And the people that voted need to stand up and do something. If they do, you're going to see a change. I believe it. But if we don't, if we go back to bed, if we turn on Netflix, if we go to Lolly La Land, something will shift. And I believe what will happen is the acceleration into the new world order, the acceleration of persecution. You're already hearing tones, biblical tones of persecution against those who stood for Trump. There's a lot of conversation out there about these things. They're real. The enmity, the animosity, the hatred, the vitriol in the spirit of these people in the news media against Donald J. Trump and his followers. They want to tell you, sit down, it's okay, your guy lost, and so you just need to come along with us now. We'll lead from here. Folks, that's not good. That's not good. But if the people stand up in the gap, if there's somebody who will take the lead and form million-man marches in every state, at every capital of every state, and make a noise and show strength and anoint Donald Trump the true president because he truly won to save this nation from the radical left, that is a possibility right now. But you've got to tell everybody, and you've got to get involved, and you need to discomfort yourself. You need to tell boss, I'm not going to be there. I'm going. I'm getting involved somewhere. I'm fighting for my country. I cast my vote, and I'm not going to let liars and deceivers just say it didn't matter. I'm not going to bend over for the New World Order. I'm not going to bend over for the Democrats, especially not for some Democrats. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. No, I'm not going to listen to your lying rhetoric on the left. I won't do it. Show me where to go. Well, Saturday, in just a few days, Washington, D.C. is the place. And before December, there should be several rallies. And before January, if things don't turn dramatically, before January, you need to make sure that every single capital in this country is surrounded by millions in each state. Say, we're not accepting Joe Biden. That's not going to happen. Unless we send out a sound that will shake the earth like they did in 1 Kings chapter 1. That doesn't happen. Fast forward, accelerate an environment in this nation. You know what's going to happen? The homosexual community is going to run in an accelerated path. If you were watching over the weekend, the news media in BLM Plaza, come on. And the streets were lined up with the rainbow color. They painted rainbow color on the streets with the rainbow color flags, with the black fist of BLM inside the flag. What do you have? You have a flag that's calling for Black Lives Matter with the homosexual agenda to crush the values, the morality of our country. That's not good. And to stand back with that movement, it will become so vicious. You will live like Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. You will see laws and you will see things happen. And it's not just the presidency. It's also those two Senate seats, right? In Georgia, there's a lot at stake. But again, be fair. Let's be honest. Let's balance everything. We are in this condition in America right now, fighting for the very soul because of our collective laziness and our collective sin as the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the pastors would not preach the true gospel, and that is the truth. We are here because of the limelight of man's admiration on the big stage of mega churches in exchange for being the watchmen that we were all called to be in the ministry. We are here because of judgment. This is, regardless of what happens tomorrow, this, what we are in right now, is judgment. It's called a crisis. Three times in your Bible, the word judgment in the New Testament is used. The crema, the crino, and the crisis. The word crisis is crisis in the English, and it means judgment. This is all judgment. But with God, judgment has a way of escalating, intensifying phases of judgment. And my God, after 60 years of blaspheming the Holy Son of Jesus Christ, 60 years of allowing Hollywood and pornography and abortion and bloodshed and murder and rape coming and corruption and defilement, oh my God, 60 years of blaspheming the Holy Son of God on the news channels and on the comedy channels and on the sitcoms and on television and promoting wickedness and idolatry, 60 years. Now we think we're going to just take it lightly. I don't know, folks. I'll be honest with you. I stand personally. You want to know my personal opinion? I'm just presenting biblical potentials. Personal opinion? We're moving into the New World Order. Personally? Back in 2003, when God said, while walking through a park blowing shofars, do not pray for America anymore. She has crossed the point of no return. I stopped praying for this country in 2003 and was instructed to pray for the saints of God that they would be navigated in the days ahead. These are the days ahead. And now I'm hearing that people are giving up on their faith because of an election. Spiritual warfare has not even begun in this country. And people are giving up, throwing in the towel. Well, that's consistent with Bible prophecy. In the last days, there's going to be a defecting from the truth, a walking away from it. We know this. We've heard it 10,000 times. Do not pray for this country. It's crossed the point of no return. I've watched now for 17 years to see if America would ever come back. It's never come back. It's more divided now than ever before. And you think there's going to be a unity under Joe Biden? Seriously? I can't go there. I won't go there. I believe that the righteous judgment of God is upon this nation, and it is the final straw to break the camel's back. I believe we will go into revolutionary war. I believe that the system and the institutions will be broken. Look at our systems right now. Look at our institutions right now. They're failing miserably. We can't even vote. And yet someone said on, what is that, Dancing with the Stars or whatever, millions of votes could be cast during a commercial break to see who the winner is in seconds. And yet we can't do this right. No, the system is failing. The institutions are breaking. And I believe they will be completely broken. For what purpose? Out of the ashes, out of the collapse of a broken United States of America system of governance, constitution, institutions, out of the ashes shall arise a global charter, a one world government, a one world court, a one world economy, a one world military. Under the absolute sovereign control of the dragon and the two beasts and Mystery Babylon, who will be riding the beast. And I believe that all of these designs are very real in our human world, satanically inspired, but it's time for the end of all things. And if the end requires a 3.5-year global great tribulation, but on the other side of that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom on this earth, then let it be. See, we forget that there's another side to the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation, the 3.5-year period of time, is the birthing canal. That's the woman in travail. That is the birthing of going through something. And it's going through great pressure, persecution, tribulation. That's what the church has been told that we will go through in the last days. And we're getting wearied with the footmen? Don't be weary with the footmen. Stand up. Take courage. Jesus Christ has already gone before you. He's won this whole thing. I know that. He's beat it all. He's the victor. Stand with him. Go through with him. Remember his cross. Remember his passion. Remember what he did so that you won't lose heart when you go through your trials. Remember Jesus. This is the key. 3.5 years doesn't sound like a long time, but believe me, when it's all tribulation nonstop, man, you got to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And if your mind, if your soul, if your emotions, if your physical body, if your spirit is not strong, unctioned by the Holy Spirit, the can-do in your life, the grace in your life, the love in your life, the joy in your life. Listen, all the things that are coming are not supposed to eclipse the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Waiting for your call. Got a call coming in right now. By golly. Let's see. And before I want those calls to come in, got a lot of comments I want to be talking about here in just a little bit. Let's take our first call this morning. Coming in from Idaho. Is this our dear brother? Good morning. Art, is that you?
Good. Yep. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. What I wanted to share with you all today. Yesterday, somebody sent me an email. I want everybody to pray for Trump at 2 p.m. on Pacific time. So I called the guy back. I said, well, let's just pray for him. So we did. And of course, that prayer, I was given to rebuke the spirit of debauchery. I've heard of it, read it a time or two, never thought much about it. So I had to go back and look it up. I'd suggest everybody else look that up, and then they'll know how to pray. Because that covers everything. But yeah, this election, Kamala Harris said, if Biden loses, the riots continue. We're going after the Trump supporters, which you already mentioned that. So that to me, I took that as a threat.
Oh, yeah, it was a big threat.
Them are the kind of people we want running our country. Everything they pulled on Trump backfired. But they didn't do nothing about it. The Ukraine, they found out Biden was mixed up in that to his ears. Put him on ticket. We'll have him be the president. He's the best we got. Also, I checked on the internet to see how many communists we had in the Congress. As of 2009, we had 70 card-carrying communists in the government. They were all Democrats. I was a lifelong Democrat myself. I quit. I didn't vote for Gore Bush. Didn't vote again until time before Trump. And it's amazing the people I run across. Oh, boy, Trump's really screwing up the country. I don't know where these people get their information.
Art, you going to go to Washington, D.C. this Saturday? You going to D.C. this Saturday?
No, but I'll be praying.
What do you think about that gathering together there?
I think it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Got to remember, too, if they wage war on them, 1,000 can fall on one side, 10 on the other. So I'm not scared to go.
No, of course not. I know that.
That Gary, that you know, the friend of mine, him and his wife both got the COVID. Ooh. They got over it.
Right.
They didn't have to go spend lengthy time in the hospital. Another gal that works at Fred Meyer's, she got it. She was sick and dog, but she recovered. She didn't go to the hospital or nothing. So this pandemic, everybody died. We all died of virus. No, they didn't. Everything the media puts out is a lie. People need to go on the internet and find out who owns the media. I do a lot of research on the media. On the internet, I find out anything I want about the Bible. Just type it in there. Comes right up. I couldn't remember who the guy was that got the disease, which he died from. Typed that in there. Brought it right up, Elijah. He was the guy who got the double portion what Elijah had. I looked up there where he told the king to shoot that arrow out the window. I've heard Derek Prince's talk on that, how he thrashed the arrows on the ground 3 times. Man, he says, you should have did it many times. He says, now you'll only besiege him 3 times.
Hey, Art, stay on the line with me for just a moment here. Stay on the line. I want to take another call coming in from your neck of the woods. Let me take this call coming in from area code 605-370. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Is this big Pastor Dave?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Enjoying the show. Hey, I just want to give you another update. You may know it. You may have said it. I don't think you did, but Newsmax has also reported that Richard Pilger, he was the director of the elections crimes branch of the Department of Justice. He's been there for over a decade. He's just resigned this morning.
What does
William
that mean?
Barr went around him.
Hmm.
So it's interesting. But, you know, what I want to share with the people out there is, listen, when that mark comes and when you have to take that mark and you break a leg, you better start establishing friendships and you better start praying for people and laying hands on people and acting like this word of God is true and acting like you start believe it by participating and doing what it says to do. Because if we don't, an athlete trains for a game, but he trains for the game the season before the season starts. He's in training, he's prepping, he's getting ready. But here's the case where, you know, Christians need to be ready, as you're talking about, because when the crap hits the fan, and it will, whether it's another Pharaoh after this one or whenever that time breaks, it's going to break. But, you know, one of the things that's going to happen is you only have time to start exercising your faith then. It's a little late to believe God for your healing when you're laying on your deathbed. You should be quoting the word and believing God for health while you're walking around. And so many Christians are just real lax in this. But, appreciate the show. Appreciate the word.
Amen. Well, Pastor Dave, we appreciate you. And I know that you're preparing your congregation up in South Dakota, starting home Bible studies. You guys are working hard. God bless you and great success to you. And we'll look forward to doing a full-time broadcast here. We want to get as much honest information as we possibly can to equip the saints of God. And they just heard. I mean, everybody just heard right there what Pastor David just said. You start walking in the promises of God. Start walking in faith. Start speaking the word of God. No, I'm not going to give up. I'm not. My eyes are not on the linear temporary time frame that we're in. My eyes are on King Jesus. Art, let me come back to you for just a moment and your thoughts about what you just heard Pastor Dave say. I mean, you're an intercessor. You love prayer. You've seen miracles, signs, and wonders for years.
Oh, yeah. It's the only thing we got going. I pray for everything. One guy says, yeah, so I noticed, like he was offended with it. But I've been with the Lord since 72. So he called me for intercessor 74. I moved into healing ministry 84 after I went to Israel, got baptized Jordan River. So I've been busy for a little while.
Yeah.
But I go by Mark 16:17-18. It says these signs shall follow those that believe. What's that feedback we're getting?
Oh, there's just stuff on the internet that's passing through the system, that's all.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead, there won't be any more.
Okay. Anyway, it said these signs follow those that believe. They'll cast demons, handle serpents, or get poison, speak in other tongues. Bottom line, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So people better start doing that. They don't do nothing else. They better do that. The Lord said the Great Commission, preach the gospel. We don't need all this church dogma. We just need the word.
Amen.
All of it's in the Bible. The ones Paul preached to, New Testament, each one of them, he spoke to each group. The ones that had a cross reference, they had the same problem as this group over here had. And so that kind of verified we all had the same problem. Didn't mean that, it just over there had it. So anytime you got cross reference, they all had the same problem. There's a lot of the Old Testament writing the New Testament, like Jeremiah, where he told him not to pray for the people anymore.
Yeah,
so they loved their false prophets, and when they cry out, then hey, he wouldn't even listen to them. So I can see what you were talking when he told you not to pray for the nation. I still do. But when I pray for the nation, it's for the people.
There you go.
Because the governments are what they are, and they've been that way for years. So
let me ask people,
I think,
a question.
Trump is a reprieve from Obama. Obama's Muslim, and every speech he gave, well, I'm for the Muslims. Well, I thought he was our president. Of course, I never did like him. I didn't vote at that time, so I didn't vote for him. Never did support him. But anyway,
so that's very good. Art, and the idea right now is we're at this incredible moment. You have to admit, it is an incredible moment in the history of the world. And what makes it more incredible than just about anything is the globalization of it. I mean, everything is impacting the entire earth. What's going on in our country, imagine, will impact the entire world to some degree. America falls. The sound of that fall will shake the earth. And if the institutions that we're witnessing fail right now, that people will never again be able to trust this government. People will never again will be able to trust an election. If it fails here, how much will it fail in other places, and the stronger hand will have to come up and dominate, and there won't be the right to vote? In other words, it'll be the way we say it's going to be. They're kind of pushing that idea right now. I want to look at some of our comments right now that are online. Remember, if you'd like to call into the broadcast, I've got another. Do I have another number here? Who is this? 695. Let's take this call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Okay, 605-695, are you not there? We'll wait. Okay. So let's get back to the number to call, area code 818-369-0326. Make sure you press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast. I want to get some of the comments right now and would really love to have this discussion for instruction. Okay, we're witnessing, we're observing, we're watching. And we as Christians are looking, we have to look through the lens of Scripture, because we will get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the cunning and sleight of men if we are not looking through, observing what's going on in our world through the biblical lens and getting pure interpretation by the Holy Spirit, who one of the gifts of the Spirit is to interpret things that are going on. And so I'm looking at our friends. Sharon Evans is here with us today. God bless you, Sharon. Trust you're doing well. Melissa Fletcher is saying good morning from South Dakota. God bless you, Melissa. Lakita How are you, Laquita? I trust you're doing well. We'll probably see you tomorrow. God bless you. Kim Bowling, all the way from Colorado. Good morning, Kim. Callie Reynolds, good morning, Callie. God bless you. Trust everybody's feeling well today. David, Pastor David is with us again. Thank God for the pastors out there laboring in the Lord. Kathy Bruns saying, good morning. We are coming to the time of Revelation 13. Very true. In the future, we have to be faithful to the end. The King is coming. Amen. Faithfulness to the end. Don't give up. All right. Lorraine Vasquez calling them demon rats rather than Democrats. All right. Lorraine, you need to call me. We need to talk. Lorraine Vasquez, thank you. I look forward to your call. Please call me if you're still listening. So we have Silver Cyclone saying, according to the CDC, COVID-19 has never been isolated or purified. According to them, there is no sample of CV available. Coronavirus hasn't satisfied Koch's postulate, which is the gold standard of scientific proof. Well said. Silver Cyclone goes on to say, none of this has anything to do with a virus or health. It is the Great Reset, also known as the New World Order. We couldn't agree more. David Ellison is saying, good morning. Good morning to you, David. Lorraine says, well, judgment does start in the house of God. It's seriously our fault. We are where we are. I totally agree with that. Silver Cyclone says again, also check out Revelation 6:2. The rider went out with a bow and a crown, conquering and to conquer. Here, bow originally means the simplest cloth. The word corona means crown. All right, very good. Way to search it out. Way to study it out. G. Lawrence, Gala, we had a 4-year reprieve, and the church did nothing but mirror the behavior of the world by dividing. If this if this makes the church finally get it, then praise the Lord for it. My goodness. Cindy Masterman saying, good morning. Cindy, God bless you. God bless your heart. It's good to have you with us today and trust you're feeling better. Wendy Bredesen, Truth, thank you for being a watchman. God, forgive us that have strayed and not warned your people, Lord. Yes, well, God grant us this opportune moment to stand up and stand in the gap and be salt and light and speak the truth in love. Silver Cyclone, very active today. Yes, all true. And sadly, the U.S., along with our foreign policy and military campaigns across the world for decades, bring about the setting of the world stage for this new world order. You know, whoever this is, Silver Cyclone, I appreciate your verbiage, because that's really what it's talking about in the book of Revelation, about the stage being set. It's right on. Just go to the first three verses, break it down in all the Greek, and you'll see that it actually is referring to that. Again, Donna Frazier is with us from Texas. Good morning, Donna. Trust you're doing well. Donna says, all true. Perhaps Israel will begin building the altar while Trump is still in before unfavorable conditions begin under Biden. It would set things in motion. Certainly would. Lorraine says, definitely a threat, evil and wicked. Yep, acceleration. Just get that word in your spirit. Acceleration, acceleration, acceleration. Okay, Silver Cyclone says this is a major psyop. Unfortunately, Trump is deep ties to the Rothschilds, George Soros, Clintons, Epstein. He just gave billions to Bill Gates' Gavi vaccine alliance and is rolling out military. Very interesting. Another way to look at things. Wendy Bredesen says, agreed. It is a scademic under the guise of the Antichrist spirit. So much suffering for so many under this terrible scam. I pray for people and all Christians to wake up. The mask and isolation is dehumanizing. Hug your grandparents. They are dying from loneliness and neglect. I know this. Hold on, folks. Love, 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 and more love. It is true. Not emotional, earthly, human, Adamic nature, fallen love, but agape love, phileo love, eros love, storge love, family love, marital love, body of Christ love, and unconditional love. These are the four loves. Love is the bottom line right now, and it's the thing at the end of the day when we stand before the Lord. How are we going into eternity? Let's pray for a lot of love, a baptism of love. It won't hurt anything, believe me. So again, we see Lori Roeder is with us today. Good morning, Lori, and hopefully Ray is too. God bless you both. Callie Reynolds says, we need to be praying against the enemy and his plans. Yes, absolutely. Pray and do. Pray and do. Greg Johnson, if the attempt to mandate vaccines, how far can we go to defend our rights? You know, that's a great question, Greg, and here's the thing I'm thinking about. Right now, there's an uptick of the flu, of the scamdemic, or whatever people are calling it, right? I believe they're going to push this thing so far that people are everywhere are saying, man, thank God we got a 90% vaccine right now. They're going to make it so hard that everybody is going to actually be begging for it. Maybe. And the few that don't take it, man, oh man, they better know Jesus and know how the immunity system works by the anointing. I am a firm believer that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. We have an anointing. We have a name that is above every name, and by his stripes we are healed. And we have promises in the Word of God, like Psalm 91, and a whole bunch of new covenant promises, better covenant, better promises. Listen, the anointing will make the Word of God alive and real. Without the anointing, you're reading a book. Without the anointing, you're reading stories. With the anointing, the message contained in the book and in the stories becomes alive in your life. And if he healed a blind man, then he'll do it now by the anointing. If he healed somebody sick, then he'll heal somebody now by the anointing that quickens and makes the Word of God alive. How do you receive the anointing? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. You get born again. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You receive the blessing of God's Spirit to seal you for eternal life. This is so important, saints of God. I can't even begin to tell you how important this all really is. Kenneth Brun says, when the false word came out that Biden won, why didn't the people on the right come out and start burning and looting? Or are we praying or waiting to see, wailing to see what our president is doing? Yeah, yeah, the right always responds just a little bit differently. I've got some more calls coming in. I've got a 916 call. Let me take this 916. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Vincent.
Hey, Sean, how are you, sir?
Well, this is Mark, actually.
Mark, why do you keep sounding like Sean?
I don't even know who Sean is.
Good morning. Buongiorno, my brother Mark. How are you?
Buongiorno, I'm good.
What's going on?
You know, you just finished saying something that completely parallels what I wanted to speak. You know, there are millions and millions and billions of believers around the world, and there is only one true source of information, and that true source of information is the Holy Spirit. And that true source of information is the Word of God. However, there are news broadcasters, there are television stations, there are radio stations, and most people living on planet Earth get their information from the news, from the radio, from the television, from the internet, from the smartphone. Now, all those systems of information, as we well know, have long since been taken over by the powers of deception, namely Satan. Satan is in charge of the news media. Satan is in charge of television and radio. So it couldn't be more important now for people to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and to allow the Holy Spirit to inhabit their hearts and to speak into their hearts. Because if we as believers or even non-believers spend our time listening to the radio, listening to the news, watching television, we're tuned into the wrong source of information. And the way Satan has it set up is that his news network, you know, the SNN, Satan's news network, which is global, it talks a lot louder than the Holy Spirit does usually. You know, they have the volume turned up past the distortion level. So Christians, believers, need to really tune into the Holy Spirit. because that's going to be our source of information for what's going on today and how to behave ourselves. Unfortunately, again, the powers of deception are turned up really loud. The volume level is turned up really loud. And by golly, this is the time. This is just the time to really tune into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit from Father God and from Lord Jesus and nothing else. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it's a great story. And what it does is it lends to the conversation, what do I do? We live in a world where everybody's under a microscope. We live in a world where our conversations are being listened to. We live in a world where our algorithms have been figured out. We live in a world where our privacy has been diminished. We live in a world where, you know, everywhere you turn, there's a camera. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. You know, unless a person bailed out a long time ago and dug a hole somewhere before there were cameras and covered it up with bushes and they've been living underground ever since. A lot of people right now are asking the question, well, what do I do? You know, we're in this battle. We're in this fight. It's political. It's spiritual. Oh, yeah, that's okay. The waters are running. Not here. Praise God. So what, maybe you're asking, what do I do? Where do I? Mark, what are you going to do? Hey, Saving Grace Bible Studies has a comment. When we pray, Lord, bring your kingdom here, we know that it will get worse before it gets better. Yet we can have hope that he is with us and all the stuff happening is a step closer to bring us home. Totally agree with that. That is absolutely true. I love that comment. I'm trying to keep my phone calls here in order. So you guys are calling in. Again, the number 818-369-0326. What's the answer? You're in this world not to hide your light under a bushel. Jesus Christ gave instructions about the last days. He told us that it would be like the days of Noah. He said it would be like the days of Lot. In both situations, there was a coming out. There was the building of an ark, and there was Lot going. The only problem with Lot, he argued with the angel, wound up going up into a mountain, and things didn't go well for him. But he did get out of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Come out of her, my people. Jesus said, flee into the mountains. There's always the idea of coming out. Some people have already begun that process. Some people have given up the luxury of having a telephone. Some people have given up the luxury of having a computer or a television. Some people have given up the luxury of having a credit card or a debit card. And they've learned to live their lives a little bit differently. I believe part of the conversation we need to have is how you're going to live in an environment, if this is accelerating, where you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. The pre-tribulational rapture idea, when it fails, and we can talk about it. We'll talk about it this week again if we need to. We'll go into detail why we're not just making fun of, but the reality that the pre-tribulational rapture is not something for the general majority of people. It's not for the church. It's a doctrine that really has no merit, no strength, no substance. It's not there. And we could talk about that. So if that's not the answer, and this mark is coming, how prepared when people are already falling away with the footmen? The chariots are coming. The horses are coming. The whirlwind is coming. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. So how do we go through? Well, you have to have a death sentence on your life anyways. You're not trying to save your life. But you're also full of wisdom. God says, prepare an ark. And you do it not out of fear of what's coming, but out of fear, reverence, respect for what he told us to do. Now, I'm going to continue just a little bit longer on Facebook and YouTube. We're going to have to say most likely goodbye to our friends on Blog Talk Radio. But I want to just finalize my thought here. I know it's been a good morning. What is the answer? What are the instructions? Are you prepared psychologically to see the impact of collapse? Are our minds ready for what we're going to see and hear? You can't avoid it. You won't be able to hide from it. You're talking about a time of violence coming upon this earth. Real violence. It's been here before. In World War II, in World War I, in the Inquisitions and the Crusades, in Vietnam and Korea. And we'll go on down the list of all the war. There's something here at the end of time, according to the prophecy in the book of Revelation, that is, again, like has never been before. World War III, that's predicted in the Bible, as we understand it from our perspective, the great war that's coming with the 200 million man army and all that stuff in Revelation chapter 9, that takes out a quarter of the population of the earth. And prior to that, through disease and famine and pestilence and other wars, another quarter of the population. That means by the time you get to the Great Tribulation, half the population of the earth is gone. You've reduced it from 8 billion to 4 billion. What do you do with that? How do you live in that? How do you live through that? Someone's going to go through it. You can't throw in the towel. You can't give up. That would be like going to a Nazi concentration camp and giving up. Because you know that environment was pretty brutal, wasn't it? I wasn't there, you weren't there, but the stories we've heard and seen from my Corrie Ten Boom, they were giving up everywhere. They couldn't handle that hostile environment. And if our best defense is, I hope that never happens again, well, that's not consistent with the end times. The end times, it's Nazi Germany on steroids. It's all that has ever been, not comparing to what is or what will be. And so spiritually, tuning into your faith and becoming a genuine Christian, me too, clinging to Jesus, having an epiphany of Christ in his resurrection, his death, burial, his passion on the cross, getting to know him spiritually, intimately, unioning with him, not just having a mental assent about him. If you union with him, you could take the stripes a little bit easier because he bore all of them. If you're unioned with him, you could take the insults, the persecution a little bit easier. If you're union with him, Paul the Apostle in Philippians said that I may know him and the sufferings. I want to know his sufferings. I want to be one with him. You don't hear that too much. But when you love somebody so much, you want to be one with them in their suffering. The body of Christ is called to suffer with one another. When one suffers, we all suffer, meaning we're all supposed to feel the pain of other people. In today's Christianity, it just seems like we're all in it for ourselves sometimes. And as long as I'm okay, But if my brother's hurting, my sister's hurting, well, you know, as long as it doesn't touch me, but it should touch every one of us. You see, we're really in a mess. And the hope that I see is the second coming of Jesus Christ. I think the experiment is over. I think the proof is in the pudding. And I don't see a church rising in the glorious power of what God fully intended it to be at this moment. I see the failure spoken of in the last days, that for 3.5 years, the saints will be overcome. They will not be able to do anything. I see us coming to this moment. We're fighting in the throes of death for the survival of a nation, afraid of what may happen if Donald loses. It's so much deeper. It's so much deeper. And if we don't get deep in our relationship with God and trust him and honor him and read the book, read the new covenant, read the scriptures, love God, find God, realize how much he loves you, how he sent his son to die for you, that he is there to empower you. He gave gifts unto men. You need to be in fellowship. You never walk alone in this walk. You need fellowship because you're part of a organic body of believers, a spiritual union of many different parts, different than ourselves. Right now, whether we believe in the pre-trib or not, we need each other. I'm telling you, the pre-trib camp, right now they need us and we need them. We need people that believe in once saved, always saved. We need to know who is going to meet at the cross. who is going to meet at the cross and have one common union. And the common reality for all believers, it's not the pre-trib doctrine or the doctrines of, that have been out there, it's that we were sinners saved by grace through the effectual working of the cross, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was impaled upon a cross, and that the purpose of that cross and the shedding of his blood was for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may come before God without fear, being fully accepted and fully loved. We have that in common. We're all his kids if we believe. And we need to, sometimes you need to just get rid of a lot of stuff and come back down to, all right, you believe in Jesus? I believe in Jesus. You believe he died on the cross? Yes, I believe he died on the cross too. He loved me. He loved you. Praise God. He died for you. He died for me. That makes us something. So why don't we just start right there and find out, hey, these are interesting times. What do you think? And you may think one idea and I may think another, but yet we're right here right now. How can I help you? What can we do? What can we do to ensure stability and peace even in the midst of the storm? To have a Goshen, to be in an ark, to be in the mountains, escaping the violence. What can we do? What is the answer? Cannot convince people that they're going to go into the Great Tribulation, especially if they believe in the pre-trib rapture. You cannot convince them. Time will convince all. Time will convince all. And as I've always said, if there's a pre-tribulational rapture, I'll see you in the sky, and I'll pass you by, and I'll get to the throne alongside of you. If that's the truth, then that'll be the truth. Time will tell. If it's not, we're going to be here. We who have prepared, or at least understood, need to encourage other people that didn't think they'd be here. They now are going to need our help. I don't know how. I have no formula, no plan. I just know that there are going to be brothers and sisters highly disappointed, ready to give up, and we're going to need to say to them, don't give up. This is what the word says. We need just a little more endurance. And we come alongside and we go. However God arranges that, we don't have a formula. When the Jews were in persecution, they had an underground network that was smuggling them out little by little. There were townships being formed in the forests of Germany with the Jews that did not get caught in the concentration camps. There's a lot of work to do. They're called exploits. And you and I need to pray, how can I be involved in becoming part of the exploits to do something great in a time of trouble? How can I serve the Lord? And I know by serving his people, taking care of his kids is serving the Lord. If feeding the poor lends to the Lord, if taking care of the widows and the orphans is an honor of true religion, let's do that. I think for all of us, we need to get cleaned up. I think every single one of us need to take our walk with the Lord to another level of sanctification. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit, give Holy Spirit permission. Take my life into deeper sanctification. Wash out of me the foolishness of my heart. Take out of my mind paradigms that I'm stuck in, but I can't see beyond them. Enlarge my capacity, broaden my horizon, help me to understand deeper, help me to have greater perception of what's going on. But through the smoke and the fog, let me see you, Jesus. Lover of my soul, let me see you. Let me know your presence. Walk inside of me. Christ dwells in my heart by faith. My God, who's going to throw a stone at anybody today about mistakes made? Get to know people's hearts. What is the intention of the heart? What is the motive of the heart? This is what God knows about each one of us. You know, sometimes when we judge by what we see in a person's condition or some way like that, we could be short-sighted. God knows the heart of everybody. God knows if Joe Biden wins the election and he steps into office in January, he knows all those people that were speaking about a two-term presidency for Trump. He knows what the motivation of their heart was. I'm going to share with you about false prophets this week. I've got a list of what the Bible says false prophets are. And my only concern is that in the last generation, what we have done, that prophets were still speaking smooth things, formulas for money, prosperity, success, the hardcore call to repentance is very difficult to find. And you know, if there's not the prophetic voice of God penetrating our hearts, revealing the darkness, if there's no deep spiritual conviction into, no inroads into our heart, it's very difficult for a person to find it on their own. And all we kept hearing was smooth things, silky, smooth, prosperity, money, material wealth. And we stopped hearing those messages that used to convict the daylights out of us. They used to prick us in our hearts. We don't hear those much anymore. What we need is that confrontation, not mean savagery, you know, in your face, you know, fleshly. We need that word that breaks, that word that convicts, that word that bypasses, that word that undoes us, that word that causes us to fall upon the rock so that we could be broken rather than being crushed by the rock that would fall on us. That word that says, listen, it's a narrow pathway and few that find it. That word that says, make sure you're not on the broad path. That word that says, many in the last days will say, Lord, Lord, make sure we're not part of that. What do I got to do to avoid being deceived or letting my love wax cold or betraying my brother or hating my brother? The Bible says there's a defection of the truth and apostasy. How do I avoid that? Where's the word? What is it? What is the sanctification of my heart? What is the purification of my lips? How do I get light rays of truth to shine in my darkness? How do I walk? The Bible says that God's going to send a famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the words of God. The Bible says that people are going to go everywhere looking for the word of God because the word of God is the most comforting truth, even if it hurts. There's nothing more comforting than God's word in your life. And if it's the truth that hurts you, it's still a comfort because when conviction comes, confession comes, repentance comes, and beauty comes. And it's almost like we don't want to hear anything negative because that's somehow not truth. No, it's not true. The truth will set you free. So, I've got to go. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Daniel Seckham will be with me. Right now, there's a roundtable discussion about being an overcomer. How to walk your walk, win your race. It's an incredible conversation. You can find it at omegaradio.org. Omegaradio.org. Roundtable discussion by Patricia Joy Xavier. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Daniel Seckham from Australia will be with us. Until we meet again, shalom and God bless you.